look to God in prayer before we go to the Word of God. Lord, we need your help. We need your touch. We cannot fulfill this thing within our own understanding. We don't want to preach empty words. We want to preach words that's anointed with the power of the Holy Ghost. Words that'll be a handrail to people. Words that'll lift people up that are down. Words that'll bring healing. Words that'll bring deliverance. And God, we want to speak with the oracles of God. And God, we ask you, Lord, to reach out now and touch to the uttermost in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to look, those of you who might have your Bibles, I want to look in Philippians and in the third chapter. This is a very familiar verse here. It says in the 10th verse of the third chapter, that I may know him. Now we can stop right there and have enough text to preach a week's revival. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. This is a powerful verse. First of all, here Paul expounded on the fact that I may know him, that I may know Christ. And I asked the question, how many people that's walking through the church door, how many people that's sitting on the church pew, how many people really know Christ? Or do they know a doctrine? Or do they know a creed? I've heard people say, well, this is what my mom believed, this is what my dad, my grandpa. But what did they believe? Did they know Christ? We got a group of folks that go to church, and you may have members in your family. You may know people. You may come from this belief. And they'll tell you, well, you know, it's just hope so. If you live this life and you were one of the chosen ones to be saved, you'll be saved. But if you weren't chosen to be saved, you'll be eternally lost. And a lot of folks believe that. A lot of folks actually, they come to the point they use it as a crutch or a wall or a barrier that keeps them from coming on into the fullness of salvation. But they don't really know Christ. I know some of Ken people back years ago, we sat in the living room and discussed with them about being born again. And they come to the point, they listen, but they come to the point, they got a look on their face like they've seen a ghost. And something spooked them. It was the devil that spooked them. That spooked them. And never from that day to this day would they ever talk about God, religion, or anything. I was at a funeral of another family member. And one of the people from this family was preaching the funeral. And he got up and made the statement of the man that had died, and I had personally led the man to the Lord, and he'd made the statement that this guy was not one of the chosen ones to be saved, and they were sorry, but they would tell him goodbye, and he would spend eternity in hell. And I thought, my, how sick you are. Going up to the graveside, I kind of cornered the preacher, and I said to him, I said, sir, I didn't get up and embarrass you at the funeral. But if I'm ever in your presence and I hear you say an ungodly thing like it again, I will embarrass you. I will stand up publicly and point a finger at you, and I will embarrass you till you have to run out the back door. I said, because what you said was an ungodly lie. You said that man was not one of the chosen ones, but he was condemned and he was not chosen to serve God and he would spend eternity in hell. I said, you are ignorant of God's word. I said, what in the world you preach for? What in the world you go to the pulpit on Sunday to stand up and tell your congregation you can hope that you're saved, and if you're possibly one of the chosen ones, you'll get to be saved, but you'll have to wait till you get to judgment to see. When you get to judgment, if you've not made your reservation, it's going to be eternally too late. If you've not come to know him, Paul said, to know him. To know Christ. And I don't believe here Paul was talking about a casual acquaintance. You know what I mean? I don't believe he was just, you might say, well, you know, I know the governor, or I know this person, or I know that person. You've seen them on TV, you know who they are. I don't believe Paul was talking about a natural acquaintance of that nature. I believe he was talking about truly knowing the love of Christ. The Bible says, which it passeth all understanding. And the words that he began to say afterward makes me to believe that he wasn't just asking the question, well, I just want to know who this feller is. I want to be acquainted with him. But he said, and the power of his resurrection. See, we've got all kind of leaders. We've got all kind of things going on in the world today. And they claim that the leader of their religion was, he's the God and he's Christ or whatever. But every one of those that have claimed to be God or be Christ, they have remains in their tomb. You can find the bones. You can find the dust. They went back to the dust from which man came from. He went back to, and that's where you'll find them. There's only one. The one called the Christ. The one that they became the chief cornerstone. The builder rejected, but he became the chief cornerstone. The one. This is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, end, the first, the last. He that was dead but now lives and lives forevermore. The one that they come to the tomb and they said, he's not here, he's risen. The one, the angel of the Lord said, why do you look for living among the dead? He's not here, he has risen. He's ascended on the right hand side of the Father to evermore make intercession for you and I. Paul said, I want to know about that resurrection power. Job began to give us a little understanding when Job said, though my skin worms will devour this flesh, he said, in this same flesh, he went on to explain that he knew his Redeemer lived and would stand upon the face of this earth in the last days. And he said, in this same flesh, he said, I'm going to see him. I'm going to see him. This is what Paul was talking about. Paul was talking about a Christ that was not only able to live and forgive sin and to heal, but he was talking about a Christ that when they put him in the tomb 3 days and three nights, would he be in the heart of the earth as Jonah was in the belly of a whale? But on the third day, the resurrection day, he would come forth, amen. Glory to God. Bible said there was some 500 and some folks they seen walking on the streets of the Old Testament saints that had already been buried after his resurrection. They got up out of the graves and walked around. Why? Because the Old Testament saints had to be delivered onto high. They had to be brought from captivity, which Jesus was to preach to those souls that was in captivity in a place called Sheol. He was there to say that I am the Christ. I am that which you have believed in. I am that which was prophesied to come. I was the babe wrapped in swaddling cloth. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. He that believeth in me, though he was dead, he shall live. Hallelujah. The Christ, the one that has the power of resurrection. And I say this, and a lot of people look at me funny and don't understand it, but I say this, most Christians never come to understand who they are.
Amen.
You're the next thing to God. Do you know that? You're the next thing to God. You're first of kin. Amen. Bible says that you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heirs of God. In the Old Testament, of the Old Covenant, when everything went to the elder son, the oldest. And when that elder son would come to the point of death, then if it was 20 kids, it was all divided up amongst them. Understand the lineage of the Word of God. Understand that he was the only begotten Son of God. He was the elder son in that respect. He had to die, but when he died, then the inheritance that he had received from God, that inheritance become yours. It become mine. It become every man, woman, boy, and girl that's born into the kingdom of God, that as Paul desires to know Christ and to know of that resurrection. Glory to God. That's the reason you can't keep a Christian down. They'll come back up every time. Knock us down, we're getting up. We're overcomers. We got Christ live within. We can't be defeated. I will not be defeated since the Holy Ghost come in. Glory to God. But you know, so much of the world today, and I've said this and you can say it again, when somebody claims to be righteous but is afraid of the Holy Ghost, they got sin in their life. You keep getting reports. I keep getting reports of situations. Man said some months back, he said he had a different Holy Ghost than Brother Gold did. He's still cussing. He's still drinking. He's still chasing women. He can't get the right Holy Ghost, because if he does, he has to get saved. He has to drop his cussing. He has to drop his drinking. He has to quit messing with women. And he won't do it. So he says he's got a different Holy Ghost now. I'm going to tell you something. The real true Holy Ghost will convict you of sin. And the Bible says mark those that cause division among you. A lot of folks don't understand that. They say, oh, you ought to just leave situations alone. When I see people that are wrecking lives, and I see people that are doing things that are destroying souls and babes that are trying to come to Christ and they're destroying them, God said, mark them. Mark them. Mark them. Put a mark right straight on them, because they're causing divisions. And that's what's happening in the kingdom of God. We've had so many that has crept in unaware. They're spying out the liberty. But we need to go back to the foundation of this thing. We need to go back to the understanding of knowing Christ and knowing the power of his resurrection. Then I've said and I'll say again today, if you've got an experience, you claim to be with God and you've got no suffering in that experience, then I don't believe you got the fullness of the power of God. Even though we're victorious, even though we have the power and the resurrection power of Christ, you're going to suffer for Christ's sake if you know him. You're going to be mocked and made fun of. The world's going to reject you. They're going to mock and scoff you. Because in a true experience with God, you're going to have suffering. You're going to have sacrifice. And you're going to have commitment. And I know they come along and say, well, brother, the Lord says, you know, that if you got obedience, you don't have to have sacrifice. Talking about a different thing. Sacrifice is when you, a lot of time, give up things that you like to please the Lord. Sacrifice is when you yield yourself to fulfill the will of God. And you have to change your plans from your natural plans or the plans from the things that you want to do. You make a sacrifice. A lot of time, paying tithes is a sacrifice. Giving an offering is a sacrifice. But those are just minor sacrifices. They're just minor. We have to set ourselves apart. There's a lot of places I can't go. There's a lot of things I can't do. And the Bible says, has no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. When a man or woman proves to me that they are unrighteous and they do not want the righteousness of God, I cannot have no fellowship with that. We have to be different in this present world. The Bible said we are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its ability to season, then it's fit for nothing to be thrown to the dunghills. This place here would literally, we'd had to tear the wall out and have, we could probably seat, we've had over 1,000 people back there at events, but we would probably have to have 1,000 seats back there. If I'd have looked around a couple years ago and I'd have said, well, I know how to get a crowd in here, I'll go along with everything. I'll go along with everything. I'll let every old pervert and every old whatever just come on in. Then we would have a mass crowd. The thing that keeps us from having a crowd here, even though we've got tens of thousands listening to us worldwide every week, the thing that keeps us from having a big crowd is the righteousness of God. A lot of people and a lot of preachers sell their soul to the devil. And they preach something that is tickling to the ear that really won't bring a person under conviction. 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 Simply, my ministry has always had Holy Ghost conviction on it. My preaching has always been quickened by the Spirit, and it has conviction on it. I was listening to two broadcasts on our radio station of two different preachers, and the Lord spoke to me. I was in the car, and the Lord spoke to me. One come on right behind the other, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, what's missing in them two services? I said, Lord, there ain't no anointing in them. There's no conviction there. Preaching, and I heard one of them stumble and stammer, and he's got enough sense by the Word of God. He's got enough sense with the Word of God that he knows what he believes ain't right, but he ain't man enough to do nothing about it, and he's preaching to a crowd that he knows that some of them believe and some of them don't. So he covers one side of it, and his last comment, he comes back around, oh, but you'll all be saved. It's, if you've ever been born again, why, sure, you'll get to go to heaven, but you'll lose your fellowship with God while you're here. You know what? Cold baloney. Left in the lunchbox from yesterday with no mustard on it. Growing green stuff on it. Baloney. The way you leave here is the way you're going to see God. And if your life is full of sin and corruption, and you go before judgment that day, I'm going to hear the words, I'm going to quote the words that those folks are going to hear. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The Bible says their names is going to be judged out of the book according to their works. He that sinned willfully after he come the knowledge of truth, there remaineth. Hebrews 10 and 26, there remaineth no more sacrifice for him. If you keep on walking in sin after you know better, you keep on living in sin after you know better, there comes a day that God will not allow his blood to cover it. Stay broken before God. You may make some mistakes. Stay broken before God. You may not always do it right every day, but stay humble before God. Here's the danger of sin. Sin hardens a heart, and sin separates a man from God, and it silences the voice of God. So as we know him and are made conformable to his suffering, and the word goes on to say, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul said, I want to be in that number that's going to get up. When the trumpet sounds so loud, it's going to wake the dead. I want to be in those that possess that resurrection power. You can miss the bus. You can miss the ball game. You can miss your favorite TV program. You can miss whatever. But don't miss that appointment with God. Don't miss that appointment. Because Paul said that I may obtain the resurrection of the dead. For all those, according to the word of God, that obtains the resurrection of the dead is of the first resurrection. And all those that are of the first resurrection will inherit eternal life. The Bible talks about a second death. He talks about a second resurrection. He talks about a resurrection that all those folks will receive to themselves damnation of their souls. Paul simply said, I want to be a part of the resurrection. Amen. Glory to God. Not as though I have already obtained, either were already perfect, but I far after that. Here he says, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not perfect, but I'm following after him. Verse 13, this is powerful here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. We're going to have to get a lot that was back there. One thing about the blood, when it wipes the slate, God won't ever bring that to your charge again. At judgment, God won't read off all the sins that you've committed that's been covered by the blood. Because that which has been covered by the blood has been thrown to the sea. Now, people quote it to say that they're thrown in a sea of forgiveness and never more remembered again. The Word of God does not say it in that exact form. The Bible says it will be thrown in the sea and God will remember them no more against us. They call it a sea of forgiveness. That's a man-made terminology. But what God actually said by the Word, I'm going to take all your sins you remit to me, you bring to me, and I'm going to throw them as in the sea. And then I'm going to forget them. I won't never remember them again against you. That's the reason it's so important to allow the blood to cleanse us. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You can't accomplish a thing today on dwelling on your mistakes of yesterday. You can sit around and wear yourself sick. But the only way you're going to get anywhere is reach forward to the promises of God that are before you. Yesterday's dead and gone. Let's forget it. Let's leave it alone. Let's rise up today in the victory of the day and rise up tomorrow in a vision of a new, brand new day. We've got a lot going on in the world. I believe when that Hussein said it was the mother of all wars that began, I registered that. And I said, I believe that's right. And you watch what's been going on over there. We've been in war ever since. And you watch what's going on in Egypt. The Muslims, see, this guy that's in charge over there now, the president, goes along and accepts freedom as we know freedom, and he accepts the viewpoint of America. And he's friends with us. May not have done everything right. He's probably not. But at least you have a certain amount of communication there. But the people that's going to put in the next president there are Muslims. And if you think a Muslim loves you, you've got another guest coming. Muslims are taught from birth to hate Christians. We're taught to be of the devil, and they're taught even to the point they're allowed to kill a Christian, and it's not a sin. They're allowed to connive, lie, and do anything they can. If it's to work against a Christian or bring the Muslim doctrine to a greater level. And that's where we're at today with what's going on. And they are the uprising. And if they take control, you better watch out. It's later than you think. But we need to press forward towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we have to come and spend with you. And God, let us know him. Let us know that resurrection power. And let us overcome and be victorious. And all that we go and do and say, heal, set free, and deliver is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God love you. God love you.